so that witnesses to that. And if not, I hope it's your desire above all. And I'm thankful that in the Lord's mercy, we can have that testimony if we don't. Before we leave this meeting, this very service, to be able to know when I end the day that everything's clear. There's nothing of greater value that I can think of, nothing that I can think of that means more to me than being able to know that there's nothing in my life that would come before me or stand before me if the Lord were to call me to meet Him. I'd like to consider some thoughts by the Lord's help about being weighed by the Word. Feel like the burden the Lord's given goes along with some of what's already been brought out in the meeting. Again, need the Lord to help us with it. I'd like to begin with a familiar passage in the book of Amos. Amos, the 8th chapter. In the 11th verse, Amos 8 and 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That's a frightening thought to me, to think that I could get to the place that I've rejected the word of the Lord enough, but I come to the place that I want to hear it, and I need to hear it. I need to be able to hear from the Lord, but I can't. I can't hear anything. It says they go to the east and to the west, and they wonder. It says the famine that He prophesied that would come on the land is not because of a want of material possessions or of bread that we eat or water, but it is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And I don't believe that famine is just talking about the availability of the word of the Lord. I'm thankful that we live in a time that it's readily available. I'm thankful. I've been to 3 camp meetings the last month. I'm thankful for that privilege to be able to hear the word of the Lord still go forth. We live in the day of opportunity, the day of grace, that we can hear while the Lord is trying to communicate to us. I'm thankful the Lord is still interested in communicating with us. Yes. If we'll hear, the Scripture says, Jesus said Himself, "Let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." It tells me that there's more involved in hearing than just receiving the signals into the ear and processing it. Hearing the sound waves, it's more than that. More than just hearing the words. How many were there that walked with Jesus, that followed, that heard of His teaching? Was it 5,000 or more there on the Sermon on the Mount that heard the teachings that Jesus set forth? But yet you look further down in the ministry of Jesus. How many people stood with Him? Lord, help us that we would more than just hear the sounds, that it be more than just a pleasant sound to us. And I think there's a danger for us that it can become that. Whenever we hear the word of the Lord, we've heard it all our lives, and we hear it time after time, week after week. If we're not very careful, we can become desensitized to that. We can begin to take it for granted. Lord, help us that we would have a love for the word of the Lord. Amen. A love for what the Lord is trying to communicate to me, of my need, of where I stand. I'm thankful the Lord is interested in doing that, and I want to be able to have ears to hear that. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 4th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 4. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I think of what this is saying. Those that heard the very same message, the very same thing that went forth. There are 2 reactions that I can have to that. 2 groups of people here, it said. Those that heard it, and they profited by it. They had ears to hear and they heard the words that were said. They were able to take it in and accept it and process it. But it says that there were those that heard the very same message. You know, you can look in families and congregations and see people that might have been raised in the same home under the same teaching and gone to the same place and heard the same messages. But yet one will go off another way and one perhaps will stick with the truth. You know, it's the decisions that we make as the Word of the Lord comes forth to us. It can either profit us and we can profit by it, or it will serve if we reject it to harden us. If we allow it to just come to us and we hear it, maybe even realize that, you know, that touches me, but yet I don't allow it to truly penetrate and have the effect that the Lord wants it to have. Scripture talks about those that look into the glass, but they go their way. They haven't made a change. That doesn't profit them. You've heard the word, but yet in the end you're not benefited by it. But yet it's those words that will judge us in the end. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Scripture says, we've heard it in this meeting already, by faith Noah, when he was warned of things that were yet to come, moved with fear, by faith, because he had a faith in God, a faith in the one that we heard before whom the heavens and earth, they trembled and fled away. He had faith to believe when the word came to him of something that he had not seen before. He heard it. Not only did he hear it, but he took action upon it. I believe that faith and the fear of God has eroded to a great extent in our nation, in our world today, and it can affect us as well. The fear of the Lord is what will allow us to be able to hear and accept what the Lord is saying and to benefit us. The song says, "Thy conscience once so keen to feel, that voice sent to reprove, no more is stirred at God's appeal." That's a fearful place. To get to the place that the word of the Lord goes forth and the Lord intended it for me, had something in it that I needed, something in it that would help me to make heaven, but yet I'm not stirred by it. And you know, it causes me to tremble to see what seems like such a lack of response to the word of the Lord, such a lack of response to the Lord's dealings in people's lives. We live in a time that, again, faith and the fear of God, as the word of the Lord goes forth, it seems to, just as those that were with Jesus, they heard the sounds, they heard the words, they followed, there was something that drew them to it, but when it came down to it, it was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with the fear of God. Now think back to the scripture that we began with again. It says that God would send a famine. That's a little hard to comprehend, perhaps, that God would send that famine. That it could come to a point that one would want to hear from the Lord and call upon the Lord, but yet he's not to be found. Think of the scripture that says, 1 Thessalonians, I believe, God shall send a strong delusion, that they might believe a lie and be damned. I said God would send it. The reason that the scripture gave right before that, it says, because they received not a love of the truth. For that reason, because as the word went forth, they didn't receive a love for it. And for that reason, it says God would send this strong delusion upon them. Jesus said, "I'm praying, Lord, thy word is truth. Thy word in every form that the Lord sends it to us, to prick us, to pry about us, to challenge us, to dig about us, the Lord sends those our way and wants us to have a love for what the Lord's wanting to say to us." Amen. To be able to receive it in that way. Think of the third chapter of John. John 3 and 19th verse. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." That's hard to imagine. A man would love darkness when he has the opportunity to receive light, would choose rather to walk in darkness. But it said because their deeds were evil. Because there was something whenever light penetrated. I didn't like what I saw. It bothered me. It troubled me. Whenever the light came in, my deeds were evil. And instead of being willing to be honest with the Lord and deal with it, Lord, this is who I am. Lord, you hit me right where I'm at and deal with it by the mercy of the Lord. They wanted to cover it up. They wanted to make excuses for it. Wanted to be able to take and change and twist it so that it was to their own end and benefit. Reminded of the Pharisees, you look at the place where the Lord came and healed the man that was blind from birth. The Pharisees heard of that. They had seen the man, knew that he had been blind. And they began to question him of how these things happened. How it was that he wasn't blind anymore. And he told them what had happened, that this man named Jesus had made the clay and put it on his eyes and healed him. But they didn't accept that. Didn't accept what he said. They began challenging and questioning him more. Got to the point they called his parents in and asked his parents. And the parents were afraid of the Pharisees and they said, he's of age. You ask him. They asked him and said, I've already told you what's happened. Would you also be his disciple and so forth? But if you look at that passage, it was, I believe, 4 or 5 times that they questioned. They said, we know that this man is a sinner. I know that this can't be so. And so I'm looking and I'm questioning to try to get to the answer that I want to hear. Do you know that's characteristic of those that love darkness? Yes. And Jesus speaking about this is the condemnation that comes upon those. Because whenever light comes to them, whenever they're faced with the opportunity of this is truth, they don't want to accept it. They want to question and challenge. You know, questioning and from an honest heart, the Lord accepts. But to question to the point that I know what I want to hear, the Lord will allow us to hear it. That's not receiving the love of the truth.
Amen.
Take and twist it to our own benefit and good. 119 of Psalm, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth life and gives light. The entrance of his words into our soul, into our mind, when the Lord illuminates something in my life that I need to take care of, it gives life and it gives light. If we'll follow that. And the challenge to us is that we would love light rather than darkness. That we would, when the Lord comes and deals with something in my life, that I'd be willing to say, Lord, that's who I am.
Yeah.
Romans, the 3rd chapter, says, let God be true and every man a liar. Something to the effect, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? If they should say it is not so, it cannot be so, shall it make it of none effect? But let God be true, and every man a liar. God's word has never been dictated by the whims of man.
Amen.
Never been dictated by a council of men that get together and say this is the roadmap that we've set out. This is the creed that we're to follow. The Lord's never been dictated by that. The Scripture says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. It's already settled. It's already established and already there. But oh, how many times man wants to try to take and argue and question and question and ask questions in such a way to try to get around to the answer that they're looking for. That's what the Pharisees did. Because their deeds were evil, because there was something there that the light illuminated that pricked them. They weren't willing to deal with it. The same can happen with us. Lord, help us to be open and honest. Whenever something comes across that cuts across my life, that I would accept it, that I would be willing to go to the Lord and seek Him about it.
Amen.
Thought of the 20th chapter of Revelation, was referred to in this meeting, said the books were open. Another book was open that was the book of life, and those that were dead were judged by the things in the book. What is that book? The books that are open, the books that are judged, the law that is forever settled in the heavens, that it is that we're judged by. Whenever we stand before the great I Am, it will not be the rules that I've set for my own life. We heard about doing it our way. The Lord's not going to ask for our reference of rule book. to look at and to refer to be able to see if we're accepted. The Scripture says that many there would be that say, Lord, Lord, but not everyone that cries that cry will be able to enter in. Those that say, Lord, we've done it. We've done everything that we could, and we've cast out devils and performed miracles and all those sorts of things. And He says, I never knew you. Depart. It is the word of the Lord that we're measured by. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. John given a vision here of the temple of God and told to rise up and measure it with a rod. That, I believe, means the Word of God. That he was to take and measure the pattern of the temple, which is representative of you and me. Representative of those of us that want to abide in the Lord's presence and call ourselves the children of God. That he was to rise up and measure it by none other than the Word of God. That was the rule. Amos, I believe it was, spoke about a plumb line that was given in the midst of them. I'll give a plumb line, and it'll be that is absolute, that doesn't sway, that doesn't move, that I can't change to alter and affect the way that I want to live. It's forever settled in the heavens. And it's that my life is part of the temple whenever I stand before God and claim to be part of it. It's that he'll refer to measure it. But it says here, the court that is without the temple, leave out. My understanding from what F.G. Smith comment on this was, it says that there was a court that was added to the temple after the fact. That was added for the cause of pleasing the Gentiles, so that they could come in within a part of the temple and fill a part. But that wasn't the design that the Lord had. If you look at the 25th chapter of Exodus, the Lord told Moses, according to the pattern and the things that I've shown you, the pattern of the tabernacle, the temple, that's how you build it and fashion. And he was specific in what he laid out in the rules, the pattern that he gave. He didn't just leave it subjective to them to try to determine and say, I want you to build a house for me that I'll be able to dwell in. But he told them specifically, this is what I'm looking for. I'm thankful the Lord gives us the direction in our lives to know what he's looking for and what he expects. Doesn't just leave us out there to try to determine and find our way alone. But he said that he would write his law in our hearts, in the inward parts. That's the place that he wants to put the expectation that he has of us. And so, it says this outer court is not part of the original pattern, and so you leave it out. Everything in our lives that falls outside of the pattern that the Lord has given, everything that falls outside of that template, the Lord, in measuring and comparing back to that pattern, will leave out. Remember a story that I learned about in engineering school. You may have heard of the Hyatt Regency in Kansas City, 1978, I believe it was. It was one of the nicest buildings in the city. They were designing in the plaza of it, big open spacious area, a suspended walkway across the atrium. And it was a two-story, I believe, walkway. Was considered an engineering marvel at the time, and it was the centerpiece of the building. As you walk in, well, they had a party. A lot of people that were in there one night. One witness says that he heard a sound like a gunshot behind him. Looked up in time to see the two walkways that were collapsing on the crowd of people below him. There were over 100 people that lost their lives in that accident. And the evaluation, the investigation that followed that, they found that the one that was doing the construction thought that he found an easier way to build it. The pattern, the blueprint that had been given by the engineering firm, those that had performed the calculations, that said under this given amount of stress and load, it'll be able to withstand it. They had made the calculations and drawn out this is what will be required. But yet, whenever it came down to building it, they found that, without going into too much detail, to avoid having to thread a nut halfway up this long awl thread, they said, you know what, if we just cut the thread and we suspend it in two different locations, it'll be the same thing. It'll accomplish the same thing. But what they failed to realize was that that doubled the load on that connection. And the result of it was that whenever that load got on it, it failed under pressure. Let every man take heed how he build thereon. The foundation has been given. But the challenge and the warning to us here tonight, let's take heed how we build our lives. You know, if we're not very careful, if we begin to reject the dealings of the Lord on my life, you know, I can put it off on the saints and I can put it off on someone else. Well, it's just those folks. But you know, it's not a list of rules that I'm going to give you that'll judge you. It's the word of the Lord. That's the pattern that the Lord's given. But oh, how easy it is to begin to look at it and ask a question, knowing that, you know what, I really don't want to thread that thing all the way up. It's monotonous. It's time consuming. I found an easier and a better way. Do you realize how many people are doing that in their lives? I found an easier way. I found just a small shortcut. I've looked at it. I've evaluated it. And it accomplishes the same thing as what I started out with. But the Lord, the architect, the one that set out and calculated exactly what will be able to withstand the pressure and the stress of life, and above all, the stress and the shock of the judgment seat, knows exactly what's required of our lives. And it's into that that He built the pattern, that He gave the roadmap for our lives of the thing that He once included in His temple, the way that we're to build our lives, the way that we're to conduct ourselves among one another and our business dealings and everything in life that's governed by this roadmap. Everything in life, in every age, in every time, in every culture, in every generation, in every nation, this governs and applies and is relevant to every issue that we should ever face. And it's by that, whenever I have a question, where should the lines be? I look to the pattern and I look to the Lord. And above all, I look to the lawgiver. I look to the one that gave the pattern. And I seek Him, and I'm of that kind of mindset. I don't want to make a substitution. I don't want to make a mistake. The industry that I'm in, the aviation industry, my company, they're very, very particular about what they call product substitution. And that is taking something that maybe it's a nut, it looks the same, it's the same size, the same thread, and maybe I'm out of the one that the drawing calls for, but I have these that I picked up from the hardware store. I'll put those on instead. It's not of the same material. It's not of the same strength. And there have been instances of catastrophic failures because of that kind of thing. The Lord does not allow our judgment to determine product substitutions in our lives. Areas that I think this substitution will be acceptable. I think I'll be able for my life to be sustained, for me to be able to make it through life and please the Lord with those kind of substitutions on my ideas based on my reasoning. There is a pattern that we've been given of how we're to live our lives. And everything that I can face in life, everything I come up now against a new technological thing that has come on the horizon, Lord, what do I do with this? My parents didn't have to face this. They didn't have to deal with that. I go back to the same pattern. And I say, Lord, where does this fall? How does this apply? How does this fall into the pattern that You've given? Because, again, it is that pattern that will judge us.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Way back at the mount, the Lord gave the pattern. And all those years later, it says that I'm going to judge the temple and cut out that which is the outer court, and told Moses the different times and the building of the temple still expected the same thing from way back when. It didn't change. It didn't adapt to the children of Israel and their changing needs. It was still the same that the Lord had given throughout time. If I, in my life, at some point, build again those things that I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I should at some point in my life begin to make justifications for that that the Lord way back there put His finger on and said, this is my law, this is my requirement, the word that the Lord sends, it's that that judges, it's that that's forever settled in the heavens. Think of the 10th chapter of Leviticus. I'd like to turn to that briefly. Leviticus 10 in the first verse. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all people I will be glorified. Don't you imagine that would put a fear on those that were looking? To see fire fall out of heaven on those that were offering a sacrifice, not according to the pattern. But you know, we don't see the same kind of demonstration today. Yes, there are examples. There are warnings that we should be able to see in people's lives, the Lord not accepting it. And as a consequence, we see many people, their fear. The fear of God is not there to see this kind of thing where they decided, you know what, I can offer something that's not quite what the Lord required. For whatever reason, it said that they were the sons of Aaron, the high priest. It seems that with all the training that they would have had, they would have known that wasn't commanded. That wasn't the thing, but yet there entered somewhere in their hearts and in their minds the idea that I have a better way to serve and worship the Lord. And so they offered that. The Lord didn't accept it. You know the beautiful thing about the pattern that the Lord did give? When He told Moses, He said, I want you to fashion it according to the pattern. It says that I may come and dwell in the midst of them. You know that's still the Lord's desire in every one of our lives. It's not to try to see how straight of a jacket He can put us in, but that there would be a temple that's holiness unto the Lord. There'd be a temple that He'd be pleased to come and dwell in, and that His glory to shine through. I'd like to close in the book of Daniel. The 5th chapter of Daniel. The story of Belshazzar and his feast. Came a number of years after Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord brought Nebuchadnezzar down, humbled him. But there arose Belshazzar, and he didn't have the fear of the Lord on his life, on his heart. 5th chapter, beginning in the 22nd verse, it says, And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Though you had an understanding of what was required, you had an understanding of this God and of what He required, you knew based on what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, you knew what the Lord did with him, and yet you're to this point in your life that you've allowed yourself to transgress. He had brought in and was feasting and reveling in his in the banquet hall there, and had even gone so far to bring of the utmost of disrespect to the Lord, to bring the sacred things of His service and of His worship in, and using those kind of things and profaning it in the basest sort of way in disrespect to the Lord. Well, he was allowed to do that, allowed to go on for a space of time, and so with people in their lives, going on, reveling, going about, enjoying the pleasures of life, and going the way that they found and prescribed, partying and reveling and all those sorts of things. But know this, the time will come that you're going to be weighed. The time will come that although you knew this, it said, you have lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. It's exactly what we do whenever we decide in our lives to accept some things outside of the requirements that the Lord has given. It's a fearful thing to trifle with God, to trifle with the Lord and His requirements for my life, but that's what Belshazzar had done. It says, you've lifted up yourself, you've brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this handwriting was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. But think of that. Belshazzar and all of his disregard to the great I Am, the Lord, his disrespect was brought face to face with the Lord's hand. Face to face with the Lord, and he trembled at that point. But yet he was so oblivious to what lay right outside the gates. He said, oh, Belshazzar, you've been found wanting. You've been weighed. I've weighed your actions and your life and your conduct. And now the time has come that I found you wanting. Right outside, as history says, right outside the city gates where the Medes and the Persians and the army of them encamped around the city had diverted the river and were at that moment going through and penetrating into the city. So oblivious, yet living his life oblivious to what was laying right around the corner. Isn't that the way that people in sin live their lives? Oblivious to what is right around the corner and what's right coming? Right down the road of the judgment, Noah moved with fear. But whenever I see this world today and I see the way that they so lightly disregard the word of the Lord, I believe that they're in this place that Belshazzar was in. And so I want us this evening to examine our own lives. We're being weighed. The Lord's doing the weighing. And he's weighing it against his word and his requirement. The balances. You've probably seen them, maybe used them, balanced on either side by a little platter, a plate. You place a standard on one side, something that's absolute, that you know the value of, and what you're trying to determine, you place on the other side. The Lord's doing that with our lives, our actions, the decisions that we make. It's all being placed on that other scale, weighed against the Word of God, weighed against every requirement and precept and holiness, the way of holiness and all those things, and here are the decisions that I'm making. The decisions and the things that I'm taking into my life. What's the verdict in your life? What's the Lord's verdict at this moment? Whenever He looks at the scales and the balance of our lives, weighing it against the Word that He's given, are we found wanting? Are we found in the place that it doesn't quite match up? That little needle that's supposed to be right in the middle that says it's right in balance. It's right where it needs to be. It's off kilter. The Lord won't accept it. Whenever it comes down to the place that it is too late, whenever there's no opportunity to change what's on that platter of the balance, Lord, here is my life and everything that it is before the one that everything in our lives is naked and open before Him, with whom we have to do. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. As we said already in this meeting, we may be able to hide things in this life. But before the one that sees and knows everything of our lives and our motives and our desires, and is weighing that tonight against His Word, weighing it against the holy Word of God. Judgment that is impending, as it was with Belshazzar. Whenever the Scripture says that in that day there would be those that call for the rocks and the hills and the mountains to cover them and hide them, I can imagine that they wouldn't want to see His face. Amen. But I wonder if some of what that means is those things that I in my life were taking refuge under. The things the Scripture talks about in Isaiah, the refuge of lies that I've built around myself, that I've convinced myself I'm where I need to be. I'm okay. I'm making it all right through life. This new design that I'm working out, that I'm trying, it's an exact replica. It works the same way. Whenever the Lord returns, those things that I thought that I took consolation in and comfort, so many people are believing a lie today. So many people are basing their entire lives on one concept, perhaps, a falsehood. You may have heard a pastor that just recently said he had determined that there is no hell. What if you built your life on that? What if you decided this man is right? This man has convinced me that he's right. Based on what he says, I'm building my life around that. Whenever I get to the end and the judgment shock and I'm standing before God, am I going to be calling for the rocks and the mountains, that refuge of lies that I hid behind? There's nothing in that day that'll be able to cover us. And so, what manner of persons ought you to be? What manner of persons ought every one of us to be? Today is the day that the Lord gives opportunity in meetings, in the still of the night, when the Lord comes and checks my heart. Whenever I feel something that's dealing with me, that's the mercy of the Lord. That's Him saying, I'm doing everything I can to make sure the needle's in the middle. Doing everything I can. There's a little something that's trying to move it off center, and I want to deal with it. I want you to be able to make the correction in your life. The Lord in His judgments and in His faithfulness throughout our lives, if we will have a love for the truth and for His Word, will show us those areas in our lives so that we don't come to the end and have a surprise and find out and hear Him say, I never knew you. You pray for me. Amen.